Our first scripture lesson comes from the second chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning at verse 1 and continuing through verse 11. Here Jesus attends a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee and changes water into wine. The Gospel reads, "On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour is not yet come.' His mother said to the servants, 'Do whatever he tells you.' Now standing there were six stone water jars for Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, 'Fill the jars with water,' and they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, 'Now draw some out and take to the chief steward.' So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, 'Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now.' Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him." And our sermon text this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And here Paul discusses spiritual gifts. Listen to what Paul says. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, 'Let Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit discloses." This is the word of God for the people of God, and thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Loving God, open our eyes today to see what is beautiful. Open our minds to know what is true. And open our hearts to love what is good. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Do you ever wonder whether you have it? I mean the Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. According to our faith tradition, this Spirit has been blowing through the lives of people since the beginning of time. The prophet Ezekiel saw the Spirit of God breathe new life into a pile of dry, dusty bones. Later, the prophet Joel claimed that a day was coming when this Spirit of God would be poured out on all flesh. The Gospel writers tell us that the Spirit of God motivated Jesus to do just about everything that he did, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to feed the hungry, to teach the crowds, and even to rise from the dead. Do you have this Spirit? I remember hearing Dr. Samuel Lloyd, the former rector of the Washington National Cathedral, tell a story about his grandmother. She was almost as wide as she was tall, he said. And one day, at the state fair, she lost track of one of her sons. And when she finally saw him, he was on the other side of a tall fence with an angry bull staring him down. In the flash of an eye, he said, with all of her girth, she cleared that tall fence, grabbed her son, and rolled with him outside the nearest gate. Where did that power come from? It was almost as if there was someone else inside of her who was released at that moment, and maybe only for that moment. And that's apparently the way it was in the early church. Filled with the Spirit of God, Christians found themselves doing all kinds of things that they didn't know they could do. Preaching to the powers that be, enduring persecution, living together in harmony, sharing all that they had with one another. Do you ever wonder whether you have the Spirit? I do. I wonder all the time. In this morning's scripture lesson, Paul is writing to one of the churches that he helped establish, the one in Corinth. It was a cosmopolitan city full of all kinds of people from all over the place. They belonged to all social classes, and they didn't always get along so well. Some of the prominent members of the church apparently believed that there were only two kinds of people in the world. Those who had the Spirit of God and those who didn't. Those who did could speak in tongues, and they strutted around proud as peacocks because they thought that they were special. They looked down their noses at everyone else. The church was a mess. This was the underlying cause of fights again and again, and there were always winners and losers in these fights. The winners were acting ugly, and the losers, they felt ashamed. And so Paul wrote to the congregation to set them straight on the question of spiritual gifts. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. How polite. If the Greek were translated properly, it would read something more like, I don't want you to act like ignoramuses. There are a variety of gifts, Paul says, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of ways to serve, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but the same God. Everyone, it turns out, has something from the Spirit of God to offer. And get this, all of these gifts have been given for the common good. And that's where the Corinthians were really going wrong. The gifts from the Spirit of God are not about the one who has them, but about how they can be used to contribute to everyone's well-being. Friends, I think we live in a world that is more connected by technology than it ever has been. And yet I believe that we have never understood less about what the common good means than we do now. A friend of mine told me recently that she texted her son's cell phone to let him know that dinner was ready. He texted back almost immediately, "What's for dinner?" But at the time, he was upstairs in his bedroom. I could sit in front of my computer and chat all evening with friends of mine in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, but I can't tell you the last time I spoke to either one of my next-door neighbors. I know people whose only excuse for not staying in touch with family is that they don't have a Facebook page, a Twitter account, or a Snapchat app on their smartphones. Second-day delivery is no longer fast enough for us, so packages are dropped on our front porches by drones. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing inherently wrong with all of this technology and this increased connectedness that goes along with it. But I just wonder whether it has helped us forget what honest-to-goodness commitment to one another really means. I don't think ours is the kind of world he had in mind when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said more than 50 years ago that, quote, we are caught up in an inescapable web of mutuality tied in a single garment of destiny. No, he had in mind the common good, a concept in which we continually offer up the best that we have to one another in real relationship so that all may flourish. The gifts of the Spirit that Paul enumerates in our scripture lesson this morning may strike us as a bit ancient, and therefore some of them may be even a bit irrelevant. Wisdom and knowledge, okay. Gifts of healing and working miracles, hold on a minute. Various kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues, well, now you've lost me. Miraculous healings and speaking in tongues are not exactly what Presbyterians are known for. Maybe you even heard the story about the woman who was visiting New York and decided to visit the prestigious Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in Manhattan. She was sitting on the front row that Sunday morning, and something in the service inspired her to stand up and shout, "Hallelujah!" And an usher ran down the aisle and tapped her on the shoulder. "Excuse me, ma'am, are you okay?" he asked. She said, "Yes, I'm fine. I just have the Spirit this morning." And he said, "Well, you didn't get it here." Yes, we are the frozen chosen. Now, I've heard commentators try to explain away some of these gifts. The ancient gifts of healing, they say, continue down to the present with the accomplishments of modern medicine. And some of my Holiness Pentecostal students claim that if you don't speak in tongues, then you really don't have any faith at all. But I think on both sides of this coin, these folks are really missing out on Paul's main point here. In whatever way the Spirit empowers everyone, those gifts are given for the common good. We are required to offer up the best that we have in real relationship so that everyone may thrive. No matter what those gifts are, they have been given not for your own private use, not for your own edification, but for the good of all. And did you notice something else in this passage? Faith itself, Paul says, is a gift from the Spirit of God. If you're sitting in the pew this morning wondering whether you have enough faith or have the right kind of faith or whether you have any faith at all, then this is really good news for you. Faith itself is not some heroic achievement that you make all by yourself. It is not something that you have to work hard at day in and day out. All you really have to do is receive it from God and have the good sense to say thank you. And then you put that gift to use in the community for the common good. Now, most of you know that I have just finished writing the 2018 annual report for our congregation. Writing that report is never a burden because it is an opportunity for me to reflect, for all of us to reflect, if you'll read it, on the way in which we all use our gifts that we have been given for the common good. Some of you can dazzle us with your gift of music, proclaiming the gospel through keyboard and through song. Some of you are generous beyond my capacity to imagine, and make things happen both in this church and in this community. Some of you can take a bunch of weeds and turn them into beautiful bouquets that declare the glory of God. Some of you have the wisdom to cut to the chase and find a way through difficult, if not impossible, situations. Some of you work your fingers to the bones, doing tasks around here that few of us even notice. Some of you can even tell a great story and light up the room with your smile. Some of you have a laugh that is so contagious that no one can resist being encouraged when you're around. Not one of these gifts is of your own making, you know. They all come from the Spirit of God. And not one of them has been given to you to use on yourself alone. They have been given to share with others. Not one of these gifts is any more important than any of the others. They have all been given for the common good. And you know what? That's the good news of the gospel this morning. In the world around us, people may have forgotten what the common good means. They may even hoard up their gifts for their own use. But it's not to be that way, not in this place. Here, we give our gifts away because they aren't really ours anyway. By any chance, did you get a gift card for Christmas this year? Maybe it was to your favorite restaurant, or to Amazon, or maybe even an iTunes gift card. If so, then you're not alone. The National Retail Foundation estimates that almost 60% of people in the United States got a gift card of some value from someone this past Christmas. Now imagine this, each year in the United States, including probably this year, approximately 970 million of gift card resources go unused. That's right, almost $1 billion worth every year. And despite this fact, the sale of gift cards climbs by almost 8% annually. The accumulated result is that since 2005, an estimated $45.7 billion in gift card resources has gone unused. Wasted gifts. Can you imagine it? To each one of you, Paul says to the Corinthians and to us, to each one of you is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Each one of you, no one is excluded. The Greek word for gift is charis, from which we get our English word charismatic. Each and every one of us is charismatic in that sense. By the Spirit, God has given us a gift, called us even to be a gift, knitted together with those of everyone else here, all of us given for the common good. No matter what your gift is, use it, not for yourself, but for the common good. This is the way of life to which we are called, and this is what it means to be the body of Christ. Amen.